Well, it's good to be here. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 5. Ecclesiastes and chapter number 5. Now, that first group that sang this morning, do y'all have a name? The what? Glory Bound, okay. If you ever want to change your name, I got one for you. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. Are you interested? Maybe. Why would you want to change it? You're not glory bound anymore? Oh. Planning on it? We could call it Three Roses and a Thorn. Three roses. Or maybe One Rose and Three Thorns. That'd be better. Which one would be better for you? Three Roses and a Thorn?
Yeah.
Well, I commend you for being here today. I appreciate your presence. It's a joy to be here. It's good to have my sweet wife. We're celebrating 26 years of marriage. If you don't know her, when you get to heaven, you will. She'll have all of those crowns from being married to me, and she'll be the one walking around with all those crowns. And so, but I do love Renee, and I thank the Lord for her. We met one another at OBC, and of course, that's where we got to know Adam and Kim as well. And so, it's a joy to be here. I love this church. I love Brother Thompson and Miss Thompson and their family. And I commend you for being here this summer. Recreation is my shepherd. I shall not stay at home. It maketh me to lie down in a sleeping bag. It leadeth me down the interstate each weekend. It restoreth my suntan. It leadeth me to state parks for comfort's sake. Even though I stay astray on the Lord's day, I will fear no reprimand, for I am relaxed. My rod and reel, they comfort me. I anointed my skin with oil. My gas tank runneth dry. Surely my trailer shall follow me all the weekends of summer, and I shall return to the house of the Lord this fall. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5 this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5, just one verse, verse number 8. If thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. God said, if you see violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at that matter. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there is one higher than they. A nation's rulers are in high position of authority, but the Lord God Almighty is higher. Whether it be this morning Adolf Hitler or President Obama or Vladimir Putin or Joseph Stalin or King Pharaoh or Osama bin Laden, King Nebuchadnezzar, Saddam Hussein, it does not matter. The Lord God Almighty is in control. The Lord God Almighty is more supreme than the Supreme Court of our land. Whether it be John G. Roberts or Antonin Scalia or Anthony Kennedy or Clarence Thomas, or Ruth Ginsburg, or Stephen Breyer, or Samuel Alito, or Sonia Sotomayor, or Elena Kagan, it does not matter. The Lord God Almighty is higher than the highest court of our land. And so this morning, no matter what is happening in our country, let the Lord God Almighty be magnified. Let the Lord God Almighty be glorified. Let Him be praised. Let Him be honored and worshiped, because He is in control of everything. Notice the admonition, or really the command, that the Lord gives us in this verse. He says, "Marvel not at the matter when you see the violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province." There's no doubt in my mind that you are aware that there is a violent perverting of judgment and justice going on in the great United States of America. All of us would agree with that. The word violent simply means to use physical force intended to hurt or damage or kill someone or something. We are very accustomed to that here in the United States of America these last few years of seeing violence on the rise. The word perverting means to alter from its original meaning, to distort or corrupt. It means to lead away from what is considered right or natural or acceptable. The word judgment means the ability to come to a sensible conclusion. It means common sense. It means wisdom. It means discernment. And of course, justice just simply means morality or righteousness. And the God of heaven said years ago in His word, He said, when you see physical force being used to hurt or damage or kill someone, and it's being used to alter a country's course or a country's constitution from its original meaning, or to distort or corrupt that nation's people, or to lead that nation's people away from what is considered right or natural or biblical or acceptable, and they're not able to come, those who are in the highest positions of our land, they're not able to come to a sensible conclusion, they pervert morality and righteousness, God said, don't marvel at it. Marvel not at that matter. The word marvel simply has two meanings this morning. It means to be surprised. It means to be caught off guard. It means to think it strange. 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange the fiery trials which are to try you." See, we've been blessed in the United States of America, haven't we? We've been blessed to be members of good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches. And now, when we are seeing all around us, even in good churches of the past, the violent perverting of judgment and justice, it surprises us. But God said, hey, don't be surprised. Don't let it catch you off guard. I'm in control. I know what's going on. I'm orchestrating. When you don't see me ruling outwardly, I'm ruling behind the scenes. When I don't rule, I overrule. The Lord God Almighty is in control. You believe that? Say amen. Whether it's tyranny or terrorism or a taskmaster or trouble or trials or tribulation or shedding of tears, it does not matter. God said, I'm in control. Marvel not at the matter. Don't be surprised when these things come to pass. Because you see, listen to me, the wrongdoing we see today is only part of the gigantic scheme of evil and wickedness on the horizon. And God says, hey, when you see this happening, marvel not. Don't be surprised. It also means to be dismayed. It also means to have a feeling of distress. Also, a feeling of consternation. That is, you're anxious or you're worried or you're full of care because something unexpected is happening. That day when Israel was on the one side of the valley and the Philistines were gathered on the other side of the valley, the very first day that Goliath came forth out of the army of the Philistines, and he began to defy the armies of the living God. And he began to curse and make fun of the people of God. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 11. Now, we know that he did this 40 days, twice a day, so 80 times. But this is what happened on the very first time. The Bible says that the children of Israel were dismayed and greatly afraid. Do you remember September 11th, 2001? Do you remember 9/11, the feeling of consternation or the feeling of being distressed or dismayed when you saw those planes head into those towers in New York? Well, I remember I did. I remember it caught me off guard. I was in my office at my church and watching Richard Simmons, and they broke in. I was doing exercises in my office, and they broke in. I was watching his program. I wasn't wearing his shorts, but I was watching his program and doing the exercises, you know, and they broke in for a breaking news, and they showed that plane had gone through that tower. And that other plane had gone through that tower, ran into that tower. And I remember, my goodness, what's going on? And I felt dismayed. I felt anxious, first of all, for those dear people that were in there, but then for our country. And then I read a passage of scripture like this, that God says, when you see the violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, in a land, marvel not at that matter. What does that mean? Marvel not. Should we not care? Should we not worry? Should we not have consternation? Should we not feel distress? Should we not be dismayed? Should we not be surprised? Not if we believe God is in control. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I've really been dealing with this matter of trust in the Lord in my own life. Trusting Him completely and fully. And I ran across a statement the other day that said, if the more you know the Lord, the more you'll love Him. And the more you love Him, the more you'll trust Him. And the more you trust Him, the more you'll obey Him. And so I've gone back because I want to trust Him and I want to obey Him. But in order to do that, I must know Him. And I must love Him to the point where I can trust Him. And that's what He's saying here in this passage of Scripture, that when you see all of the wrong and all of the immorality and all of the uncommon sense and the lack of discernment and not able to make sensible decisions and all of the wickedness and the evil and the violence and the vile going on, if you know me and you love me and you trust me, you'll still obey me and you'll understand I'm in control. I'm in control. And so what is it, how can we marvel not at this matter? Number one, first of all, I want you to see divine reassurance. Divine reassurance. Notice with me in verse number 8 of Ecclesiastes 5. God says, if thou seest the oppression of the poor, if thou seest the violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and notice this phrase, and there be higher than they. You know what the divine reassurance of God tells me is that, yes, these people are in high positions of authority. And yes, it looks like they are in control. It looks like they are driving the course of our nation straight to hell. But ladies and gentlemen, the divine reassurance is this. You're only seeing what you can see with your physical eyes. You got to believe by faith. You got to trust me. Don't be surprised at this. Don't be dismayed. God Almighty is in control. That's the divine reassurance. Go with me to Psalm 105, back to the left in your Bible, Psalm 105, real quickly. Psalm 105, and let me show you again and again. I have a list of Bible verses here that tell us not to be dismayed because God is in control. Be not dismayed because God is sovereign. Be not dismayed because God is the supreme ruler of the universe. Psalms 105, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Now I know with the naked physical eye, it doesn't look like God is in control. But ladies and gentlemen, the divine reassurance of God's word. Notice verse number 5. He says, remember the judgments of his mouth. Ladies and gentlemen, our greatest reassurance in times like we live in is this book, the word of God. Amen. And listen to me, we need to remember what God has said when all hell is going on and breaking loose around us. He says, I am in control. I am sovereign. I've got everything under control. Amen. Notice what he says in verse number 8. He hath remembered his covenant forever. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying unto thee, will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people. Look at this. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. Moreover, above that, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. You see, all that's going on, ladies and gentlemen, and it's happening to God's people. People, God says, hey, I'm still in control. That's the divine reassurance. You see tyranny, God's in control. You see terrorism, God's in control. You're facing trials and tribulation and tests this morning, God is in control. That's the divine reassurance. Number two, I want you to see divine rulership. Go back with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And notice with me in verse number 8. If thou seest the oppression of the poor and the violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regardeth. You see that phrase, he that is higher than the highest? You see, it looks like that President Obama is in control of America. He's in control of our economic future. He's in control of our domestic affairs. It looks like that's the way it is. But ladies and gentlemen, here's what God says. There is one that is higher than he. That means divine rulership. When you see a tyrant on the scene, there is a God in heaven that's higher than them. When you see terrorism hit our land, there is a God who may not be ruling, but he is overruling. Go with me to Revelation chapter 17, nearly the end of our Bible, Revelation chapter 17. Notice in verse number 10, Revelation chapter 17 and verse number 10. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. You see that phrase? He must continue a short space. See, the reason they must continue a short space is because God determines their space. And by the way, can I say that tyranny and terrorism and tears and tribulation and trials and testings of our faith are all temporary? They're all temporary. That's why he says, hey, marvel not. Don't be surprised. Don't be dismayed. Don't worry. Don't get anxious. Do you know what our worry and our fretting and our consternation and our panic reveals when things happen? It reveals our lack of trust in Almighty God. God says here that there'll be these kings, there'll be these men in high positions. Verse 11, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Look at this. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Divine rulership. They don't even know it, but they are in total agreement with the God of heaven. But you know what's sad? Is we don't know that. We don't believe that. God is in control. He's putting in their hearts to do his will, for them to agree, till all the words of God be fulfilled. Divine reassurance, divine rulership. But also I want you to see divine regarding. Go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Divine regarding. And this is great comfort. This is a source of encouragement. Notice in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse number 8. If thou seest the oppression of the poor, and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regardeth. You know what that word regardeth means? God sees and God knows. You ought to jot down Psalm 139. You ought to jot that down and read that this afternoon or sometime. What it means is that there's nothing we can do, there's nothing we can say, there's nothing that goes on this planet that God doesn't know and see. When we see the great immorality and the unrighteousness and the stupid decisions and the trying to lead away our country from what is considered right and natural or acceptable, when we see that, do we understand God sees that too? God knows. And we can funnel it down from our country to our personal lives. You may have been mistreated. You may have been the have had to suffer the results of a tyrant or terrorism in your own physical life, in your own personal life. Maybe you're facing trials and tribulations and tests this morning. God's in control. Marvel not at the matter. Don't be surprised at the fiery trials which are to try you. Hey, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. God sees and God knows. And so with those three things in mind, divine reassurance, divine rulership, and divine regarding, it brings us to number four, divine rectification. Divine rectification. Do you believe God's going to rectify this? Do you believe that God's going to make all things right? Do you believe this morning, no matter what trial you are facing this morning, no matter what violent perverting of judgment and justice we see in our nation, do you really honestly believe this morning, based on the authority of the Word of God, because you know Him, you love Him, you trust Him, do you really believe that God's going to set the record straight? He is. He is. In His time, according to His will. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we should not hoop and holler and expect to believe that God is putting in the evil His will and having them agree with Him and not believe that God wants us to agree with Him too. Do you agree with God that He's going to make all things right? That's what He says. But He's going to do it His way. And He's going to do it in His time. According to His plan. Because He's the one that's in control. Job 14, Job said this, "If man dies, does he live again?" Let me give you Southern Texas answer. You betcha. You betcha. That's the only way that God can rectify the evil and the violent perverting of judgment and justice is that those evil, ungodly, immoral, unrighteous people who lead our nation and lead other people straight to the pits of hell, the only way for God to set the record straight is if they would live again after they die. We have read and we have seen that many of them who have violently perverted judgment and justice in our nation have died violent deaths. But dying a violent death is not the end. God still hadn't set the record straight because they died a violent death. In Revelation chapter 20, go there with me real quick. Revelation chapter 20, we see divine rectification. In Revelation chapter number 20, in verse number 11, John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos said, "I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it." Now, I don't know, but I think John probably saw some violent perverting of judgment and justice. I believe it says that John was there when Jesus was crucified. I don't know of a greater violent perverting of judgment and justice than the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John saw that. John was a witness of that. Jesus even spoke to John from the cross. John saw that. But now he's been banished to the Isle of Patmos, boiled in oil, about 90 years old. And he said, I saw. God showed me his divine rectification on those that wrecked evil and havoc upon his people. He said, I got to see it with my spiritual eyes and a spiritual vision. He said, I saw a great white throne, and I saw him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And I saw there was no place for them to hide. I saw the dead, I saw the small, I saw the great stand before God. And I saw the books were open. And I saw that another book was open, which is the book of life. And I saw that the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And I saw the sea give up the dead which were in it. And I saw death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And I saw that they were all judged, every man according to their works. John said, I saw divine rectification. This morning, do you see divine rectification? Do you see and believe that God is going to make all things right? Do you see that? You say, Brother Joey, a person dies and goes to hell. Are they there forever? Well, the biblical answer is no. Because they will be brought out of hell one day to stand at this judgment, the great white throne judgment, and then they will be cast into a lake of fire. Now that's forever. You say, Brother Joy, how does God make all things right? The lake of fire. The lake of fire. You see, if you're wrong this morning about your salvation, if you're wrong and you believe that salvation is in being good, or salvation is being a church member, or being baptized, or being a Catholic, or being a Baptist, or paying your bills, or being a good person, or taking communion. If you believe, listen to me, that salvation is in any other thing or person other than Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary, you are wrong. And the only way for God to make that right, if you die wrong, the only way for him to rectify that is for you to spend all eternity in the lake of fire. Amen. You see, God does make all things right. In Isaiah chapter 45, go there with me if you would, Isaiah chapter 45. Notice just three verses here in Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45 and verse number 5. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. The Lord is creator. The Lord is controller, and the Lord is completer. He created, he's in control, and he's going to complete his plan, his will. God is going to make all things right. So what is our responsibility as children of God? Go with me, if you would, in Psalm 112. Psalm 112. What is our responsibility? What is my place? Psalm 112. You know, in short, I could say that our responsibility is to marvel not at the matter. After all, that's what God said. But let me explain what it means to marvel not at the matter. Psalm 112. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light. In the darkness he is gracious and full of compassion. And righteous, a good man showeth favor, and lendeth he will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. Look at this. He shall not be afraid. That word afraid means dismayed. It means to marvel. He will not marvel. He will not be dismayed. He said, this man of God, this person of God, these people of God will not be afraid. They will not have consternation or feelings of distress when they hear evil tidings, because their heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Their heart is established. They will not be afraid until they see his desire upon his enemies. What's our responsibility? To fix our heart in trust in the Lord. It's going to get worse. You and I are going to face some things in the days ahead that shouldn't surprise us. Knowing that what we see now is just a small part of the grand scheme of things of wickedness to be unraveled and revealed. It shouldn't cause us to fear either. Unless our trust is in our bank account or our president or our nation's economy or our political party of preference. If your trust is in any of those things, you ought to be scared to death. You ought to be afraid whenever you hear of some other form of terrorism or tyranny or trial or tribulation. But if your trust is in the Lord, if your heart is fixed trusting Him, the Bible says that you will not be afraid. You will not be dismayed. You will not marvel. And so, how do we get to that place? We must know Him. Do you know Him? Does He know you? The Bible says one day He will look at those people and He'll say this to some of them, He'll say, I never knew you. He said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. It's great to know the Lord. That's the first part of trusting Him, but does He know you? And so you know the Lord, and the more you know Him, the more you love Him. Do you really love the Lord this morning? And listen to me, the way we answer that question is not with our lips. We answer the question, do we love the Lord, with our life? You know what reveals to everyone how much we love the Lord? Things like our stewardship, our schedule, our prayer time, our Bible study, our faithfulness. There was a group that said, we love you, Lord. And he said, man, with their lips, they draw close to me, but with their heart, they're far from me. And so this morning, we know the Lord. We love the Lord. Then we can trust the Lord. I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, the reason we don't trust Him, the reason our heart is not fixed in trust in Him like it should be, it's because of one of these first two things. We got to go back. We got to make sure that we know Him and that we love Him. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?